Well, if you have your Bibles, open them with me to the 16th chapter of John's Gospel, and let's read two or three verses here, well, from different areas. We'll read two here from John's Gospel first, that is the 16th chapter. 16th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus is speaking, and he said in the 23rd and 24th verses, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Now, while you're right there close, just look back into the 15th chapter and notice the 7th verse. 15th chapter and the 7th verse. "If ye abide in me," Jesus is speaking, "and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Now again, open your Bibles to the 6th chapter of Ephesians. We'll read a verse that has been our golden text in all of our prayer seminars. That is Ephesians 6:18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Hallelujah. Let's just read these words. "Praying always with all prayer in the Spirit." Hallelujah. Now, prayer has several elements. I've just jotted down some things here years ago. And in going over prayer notes, I found these, and it just sounds good. Amen. A lot of times I'll write down things the Spirit of God gives me. Or sometimes if you're reading something, you know, from a magazine, periodical, or a book or something, and maybe just one statement will fit right in with what you've already got. So you just put that right in there, sort of make a sandwich out of it, you know. Amen. And through the years, you know, you'll gather up some very important things. A lot of times the Lord will give me something, even in preaching or teaching, I don't have any scripture for, just the thoughts. And I'll write them down, then I'll look up for scripture, and that's the way I am on this. And so I wanted to read all three of these scriptures, or portions of scripture. There are two verses on one of them. Because I wanted you to see that in prayer there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost involved. Hallelujah. Last verse said, "Praying in the Spirit." Jesus said, "What if you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it you." So, prayer has several elements. Now, number one, it brings you into personal fellowship and touch with your Father God. He is the Father of spirits. It brings you into personal fellowship and touch with your Father God and with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. All three of the Godhead are brought into the prayer life. You see, according to what Jesus said in John 16, 23 and 24, you are praying to the Father, you are praying in the name of Jesus, you are praying through the Holy Spirit, with the aid and the assistance of the Holy Spirit. In the Spirit, he speaks here. That can be either in English or in tongues. And your prayer is based upon the Word of God. See, you got all four elements in prayer. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the Word, the written Word. Jesus is the living Word. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will." I believe this is going to preach pretty good, isn't it? I don't remember ever preaching this before. I told you I was going to bring out some things I hadn't preached. I believe it's beginning to feel pretty good, you know. I mean, you know, it's not like you try on a new suit. Well, I believe that's going to wear pretty good. I mean, it's already beginning to feel good, you know. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. We all want to get to that place where you ask what you will. Think about that. He didn't say you ask, and if it's God's will, he'll do it. That's human reasoning. No, he said, you'll ask what ye will, and it shall be done. But now then, of course, don't take that and run off with it, because it's based on you abiding in him. That's fellowship and in him, staying in him, and his words abiding in you. Hallelujah. If your prayer life is controlled by the word, and it should be, you don't have to worry about the will of God, because the word of God is the will of God, and you're not going to ask for anything outside of the word of God if his word's abiding in you. So you don't have to bother about that. That solves that will of God problem. See, people over here who are not in the Word, you always know when they're not in the Word. Because they're running around talking about, well, I don't know what his will is. We'll pray. If it's his will, he'll do it. If it's not, he won't. I know right then they're not in the Word.
Amen.
Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good. I know right then they're not in the Word. Because if you're in the Word, you know what his will is. Because his word is his will. After all, that's what testament means. Did you ever go where there's reading a will? You know, someone had died. That says the last will and testament. Hallelujah. Amen. Of so-and-so. Well, the New Testament. Thank God is the will of God revealed to us through the death of Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? And so if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will. What ye will. Hallelujah. And it shall be done unto you. Now, so then, you're praying to the Father. You're praying in the name of Jesus. You're praying through the Holy Ghost or in the Holy Ghost or with the aid of the Holy Ghost. And your prayer is based on the Word of God. That will solve the prayer problem. That's the answer. You don't need any more answers than that. Yeah, somebody said, but. I know right then. They don't believe the word, or else they're not paying any attention to the word. There's no ifs and ands and buts about it. If the Bible said it is so, praise God. If I don't know what it said, that's my problem. I need to get into the word. Hallelujah. But you see, most folks coming around seeking help, you know, you tell them what the word said. But yeah, but now what's your opinion? I've had them ask me. I said, I don't have any opinion. I just believe what the word says. Amen. Yeah, but what do you think about it? Well, I don't think anything about it. The Bible said it, I believe. What you need to do is get in the Word. I've said to people, what you need to do is to get in the Word. They'll turn right around and say, yeah, but couldn't you give me a word to sort of help me? Yeah, I already have. Amen. See, they're seeking help outside of the Word of God. There is no help outside the Word of God for the Christian. That's where his help is in God and in his word and in his revelation. Are you listening to me? And you see, that's where it is. The Holy Ghost, Jesus said, he'll take the things of mine and show them to you. Hallelujah. See, the Holy Ghost is in this thing too. He'll take the things of mine, Jesus said, show them to you. Now notice what else he said. And he'll bring to your remembrance. Hallelujah. What things soever I've said unto you. See, if you get into the Word of God, the written Word, and live in it, and stay there, and abide therein, and fellowship in it, then when the hour of need arises, or whatever it is, and you begin to pray, the Holy Ghost will bring to your remembrance. But if you don't know, you see, he can't do his job because you haven't done yours. Now you remember this, that Jesus said, now listen real carefully. You're right there in that 15th chapter of John. You could just look into the 14th chapter of John. And you see, of course, that Jesus here in the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th chapter of John's gospel, this is just before that he's going away, going to Calvary, going to die, going to be raised from the dead, going to ascend on high, enter into the heavenly holies with his own blood to obtain an eternal redemption for us, coming back down here on the earth, appearing to the disciples and different ones at different times, eventually ascending into heaven and sitting down at the right hand of the Father where he is now and where he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Now, when he was here, you see, with these disciples, they could lean on him. They could ask him, and he could counsel with them or tell them whatever they need to know. But he's going away. What are they going to do then? So what does he say to him? John 14, I will pray the Father. 16th verse, I'll pray the Father. And he shall give you another comforter. See, as long as he was here, he was their comforter. Let's stop just a minute and analyze this a little bit. You know, I make mention quite frequently, I like the Amplified Translation. You know, if you do any studying at all, that, you know, even many King James translations will have a little number, a letter by the word comforter, and look over in the margin, and it'll say helper. The Greek word is paraclete here. It means helper, counselor. The Amplified gives a sevenfold meaning of the name, and comforter is just one of them. Comforter, helper, advocate, hallelujah, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby. Hallelujah. Now you see, when Jesus was here in person with the disciples, he was right there with them. He was their comforter. He said, I'm going to send you another comforter. Another comforter. See, he was right there with them. If they needed comfort, he could comfort them. If they needed counseling, they could talk to him. Amen. Isn't that right? He's their advocate, their lawyer, one who pleads their cause, their case. Hallelujah. He's their intercessor. He can help them. He is their strengthener. They can lean on him. Stand by. But now he's going away. What are they going to do then? I like another translation. Another translation reads, now let's go on reading this first till we get to this now. I'll pray the Father, and he'll send you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now the 18th verse I want to get to. I will not leave you comfortless. See, I'm going away. But I'll not leave you comfortless. Or another translation said, I'll not leave you helpless. Woo, glory, aren't you glad? Someone said, well, I feel so happy. Forget about it. That's got nothing to do with it. I'll not leave you helpless. I like another translation. Said, I'll not leave you orphans. I'll not leave you orphans. Amen. Amen. I said, amen. We're not orphans. Glory to God. I will come to you. Hallelujah. And you see, in the power and the person of the Holy Ghost, he has come to us. Amen. Woo, my. If we just stopped right now and went home, we'd be blessed, wouldn't we? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, skip right down there in this same chapter to that 26th verse. But the comforter, the helper, the counselor, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby. That's what the Greek word means. It's translated comfort. It means all those seven things. Whom the Father will send in my name. See, you got all three of them involved. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Whew. Hallelujah. How many things?
All.
And bring all things.
Thank you, Lord.
Man, I don't know if I've helped you or not. I've already preached me happy. Glory to God. Bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Now, open your Bibles to the 15th chapter and the 7th verse. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will and it shall be done unto you, see. Prayer must be based on the Word of God. That's what I want to get over. That's where so many people fail. They're praying outside the Word. I've said to people for a good many years, oh, I know people pick up on, just like I said, maybe one sentence you said and take it out of context and make you say something you didn't say. But I've taught for many years. I can show you, I got notes just like this here. Except I'd taught some of them where I hadn't taught this, that I remember of. But I can show you notes that I have, even before I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I spoke with tongues when I was a Baptist boy preacher, in home prayer meetings and prayer groups and fellowship groups. I can show you where I wrote it down. I still got it. See, I have boxes of notes where I said to them, find scriptures that promise you the things you're praying for. See, then you're praying in the will of God. If I can't find scripture what I'm praying for, I don't pray for it or pray about it. In fact, if the Bible don't promise it to me, I don't have any business with it anyway. Amen. You see? Now, find scriptures. You've heard me say it again and again. Find scriptures that promise you the things that you are praying for. Then you've got a solid foundation for faith. Praise God. I ask people, you heard me say when I left my last church and went out on the field in field ministry, going from church to church. I run a few polls of my own, like they do, you know, political polls, like the Harris poll, the Roper poll, and all those polls. Well, I ran some prayer polls and faith polls, and amen. And I'd say to people when they came to me, Brother Hagin, would you pray with me about this? Would you pray with me about that? And I talked to a lot of folks in those days because, see, I'd always, after the morning service in churches, sit around and talk to people, you see. And they hear you teach and preach and they think, well, he's strong in faith. I'll get him to pray. Maybe it might happen, you see, because he's strong in faith. Well, it won't happen when you come with that attitude because you're in unbelief. But anyway, I would ask them, I'd ask these people when they'd come with their request, what scripture are you standing on? 8 times out of 10, this is the answer I got. Well, not any in particular. I said, that's what you'll get. It's nothing in particular. Nothing in particular. Find scripture, you see. Pray according to the word of God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Amen. Amen. The word of God is the will of God. So then, you see, when you begin to pray, if you know the word, and prayer must be based on the word, the Holy Ghost then will bring to your remembrance the word. Many times I've been praying, the Holy Ghost just start bringing scripture to me. Most of the time, you know, it'd be a very rare occasion for him to bring scripture to that you don't know. Now, you may have read it one time and forgotten it. I've had him bring scripture to me, you know, and I said, well, I know I read that, but didn't know it said that. And so I look back, sure enough, that's what it said. Jesus said, see, one work of the Spirit is to bring to your remembrance what I've said to you. Well, what God said to us is his word speaking to us, isn't it? Now, that's one of the works of the Holy Ghost, is to bring that to our remembrance. I found out this now once in a while, you see, but right on the other hand, you are in an attitude of prayer, maybe going along in the car praying or praising or worshiping God or meditating, and he'd bring something to your remembrance. But I found out that just about 8 times out of 10, that those times come when I'm really in prayer. Amen. He brings to your remembrance. Praise God. And so then prayer must be based on the word of God. Your prayer is based. Now let me say it again. You're praying to the Father. You're praying in the name of Jesus. You're praying through the Holy Spirit or in the Spirit. Your prayer is based upon the Word. Now that'll solve your prayer problem for you right there. That's your answer. Then you cannot spend any length of time in prayer without being affected by it. Absolutely impossible. Absolutely impossible. Now, here's scripture that'll go with that. You know, Isaiah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. We're living in a time most folks need their strength renewed. I believe that means spiritually first. But whatever affects you spiritually is going to affect you also mentally and going to affect you physically. And so they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. that'll walk, not faint. And I remember also that Isaiah prophesied by the Spirit of God, with stammering lips and another tongue I'll speak unto this people. And went on to say, this is the rest. The rest wherewith the weary shall rest. This is the refreshing. You can't spend any length of time in prayer without being affected by it. The quietness, the unshaken faith, the deep peace that pervades the Godhead will overflow into the prayer's life. Hallelujah. Now that won't happen just because you rattled off a few prayers, you know, just like you rattled off a memory verse. That don't happen just because you pray like the old farmer did. God bless me and my wife, my son John and his wife, us four no more. Selfish praying. That won't happen because you'll say, well, I'm like the fellow whose name was Jimmy. He said, my name's Jimmy, I'll take all you'll give me. That means waiting in the presence of God. Fellowshipping with him around the word. I don't know whether we ever stopped to think about it or not. Now remember this, in our prayer seminar, I emphasize what prayer is. Every night, every service almost, I'd read three or four things that prayer is. One of them, prayer is fellowshipping with the Father. I don't know whether you ever stopped thinking about it or not, but when I take my word, hallelujah, on my knees or just sitting down, or wherever I am, I take the word of God, began to read it and meditate upon it, I'm fellowshipping with him. That's part of prayer. Are you listening to me? See, we've got the idea, I think, because what we've seen, you know, that you're not praying unless you're asking for something. Oh, no, 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 no. You don't have to ask for something to pray. And the sad thing is that so many people never pray without asking for something. I think God wants us sometime just to come into his presence. Oh, I've been there. It's hard to describe. It's hard in the natural mind, with the natural mind, to describe spiritual things. And for the natural mind to pick them up sometimes. You remember when Jesus was talking about being born again in the third chapter of John's gospel. And remember Nicodemus in his natural mind? See, he's talking about a spiritual birth. Well, it's hard. It's hard to get over to the natural mind what a spiritual birth is. Now, we've experienced it, and when somebody mentions it, we think of the experience. But you take about a fellow who had an experience, what is he thinking? You see what I mean? So Nicodemus said, see, he could only think naturally because he said, well, is it possible for a man when he's old to enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus endeavored to explain to him that that's not what I'm talking about at all. That there is a natural birth, but there is a spiritual birth. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There's a spiritual birth. Praise God. So, it's difficult to explain with the natural mind and in the natural. You just have to be there to experience it almost. Spiritual things. But I know I've been on several occasions through the years. I remember the first time it happened. It was so, you know, the first time it's happened, it's just more real to you. You understand what I'm talking about? I mean, the newness of it, the ecstasy of it, you know. Now, just like this. The first time somebody ever gave you a $100 bill. Now, you might have got several $100 bills since then. Man, I can remember in ministry way back out, first time I got $100. See, I don't think about all those other $100 bills through the year. I think about that first one somebody gave me. I remember the first time that somebody gave me a $500 bill. I didn't know they existed. I didn't know there was such a thing. And I'd been preaching for 15 years, you know. Well, now I've had people to give me a $500 bill. Since several times. I'm not talking about checks. I'm talking about money, bills. Checks just as real, though. Don't misunderstand me. Just as good. But, you know, if it's not a hot check. Now, for instance, somebody gave me a $500 bill last year. Right about this time, just gave me a $500 bill. Personally, me purchased a $500 bill. Well, I just thought of it then. But see, when I started to think of $500 bill, I didn't think of this recent one. I thought of that one way back there in 1947. That first never got. See what I mean? You've got several $500 bills since then. But back there, boy, that's a first one. You know, there's just a thrill about that. It's that way with spiritual things, you know, as well as with natural things. So, I can remember the first time this happened. Now, I'd been a Christian and a minister of the gospel for a good many years. Good many years. And I prayed a lot in the Spirit. But I can tell you exactly where I was. I can tell you the town. I can tell you where I was preaching. And I was kneeling by the bed in my bedroom in the nighttime after service one night, just fellowshipping with the Father. While we'd had two services that day, I'd taught at 10 o'clock in the morning, preached that night, laid hands on people. You know what I mean? But just fellowshipping with the Father. And it seemed to me, you know, I had my eyes shut there kneeling. And it just seemed to me that suddenly there I was. I could just see myself standing in the very throne room of heaven. I could see God there. I could see Jesus sitting on the right hand of the Father. And I was just worshiping Him. And to me, it was just as real as somebody standing in the room. I heard it. He said, "Son, what can I do for you? What do you want?" And I heard myself say, "Well, Father, I don't want anything. I didn't come to ask you for anything. I just wanted to tell you how much I love you. I just wanted to hang around the throne." Then we'll forget it. To me, I just saw it. I was over here in the realm of the Spirit. I could see tears came to his eyes. He said, reached his hands out towards me to take it in his arms. And he said, "Son." And he hugged me, you know, like a father hugging his son. "Son, you don't know how much that does for me. How much I appreciate that." Then he said, "No earthly father. No earthly father." You see, we think of it from my standpoint. We ought to look at it from God's standpoint sometimes. See, He's the Father. We're His family. "No earthly father ever loved his children more than I love mine. No earthly father wants to do for his children more than I want to do for my children." But he said, "You see, just for you to come." And said, "I don't want anything. I didn't come to ask you for anything. I just want you to know how much I love you. I just wanted to hang around you." Well, you know, from the natural standpoint, if every time your son or your daughter came, they always wanted to, well, used to a nickel and dime, now $5 and $10, $15, $20, $25, $50, $100. You know, you wouldn't get a lot of pleasure out of that. See, we forget, my friends, that God is a Father. God is a Father. God is a Father. Oh, my. I don't know about you. I had some more experiences, three like that. Well, you're just over there, out there. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but know about me. I'll tell you my heart just right now. Can't hardly stand. I just want to. Why don't you just get off your chair and on your knees right now? Just imagine. Use your spiritual imagination just like you do your natural. Just imagine that you're standing. That you've entered into the throne room of heaven. Well, thank God you can. The Bible said, "Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need." Just imagine you're standing there in the very throne room. See Him. See Him on the throne. Say, "Father, I didn't come to ask you for anything. No, you're such a wonderful Father. You made such a wonderful provision for me. You sent Jesus to redeem me. The Word of God said, 'Blessed be the Father, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.' And you've just blessed us with so much, and we're so rich. No, I didn't come to beg. I didn't come to ask you for anything. I just wanted to tell you how much I love you. I just wanted to tell you how much I love you. I just wanted to be close to you. I just wanted to hang around a little bit." Oh, you're so wonderful. Oh, you've done so much for me, Lord. I know I, from the natural standpoint, am unworthy. I know it's not because of me, but it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I just want you to know I love you. Oh, I just want you to know I appreciate you. Oh, there never was a son in the natural that loved his father any more than I love you. I just want you to know how much you mean to me. I just want to be close to you. I just want to hang around the throne these days. The Father of spirits. Oh, Father. Father, I'm so glad that my spirit can contact you, the Father of spirits, in a supernatural way. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, my Father. Ah, my spirit doth rejoice. My heart is exceedingly glad. Oh, for thy goodness, and for thy mercy. Mercy, mercy. That's from everlasting to everlasting. How we rejoice. How we rejoice in thee. How we rejoice. We glory in our Father. Thou art good. Thou art great. Thou art kind. Thou art merciful. To wait in your presence. Just to be in your presence. Oh, just a fellowship with you. Just a fellowship with you. Oh, Father. 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 Thou art my Father. I'm in the family. The family of God. Thou art my Father. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you for being so patient with me. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. My heart doth rejoice. My heart doth rejoice. Thank you. I will rejoice and be glad. I'll magnify his name, for he is good. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. It is reached even unto me. His patience is great. With patience and long suffering, he is borne with me. Yea, and he has lifted me out of the place of complacency and placed me into the realm of the Spirit. And in his presence, do I wait. In his glory I live. I will exalt him. Yea, I will praise him. I will magnify his name. For he is good. He is great. Hallelujah. And above all gods is my God. Yea, he is the God of the universe, the creator of all things. There is none other like unto my Father. Yegadamos minstum revedicasti. Hallelujah, and I'll praise him. And I love him. Oh, I love you. 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 Thank you, Father. Oh, maritetis di stifre fraceras ta procum puranidis. Memeam praticaras o combra faras. Ah, yes. 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 Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We fellowship with thee. We fellowship with thee. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and just thank him. And just praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, we praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now just keep your eyes shut and lift your hand to Him. And say it out loud. There is no other God.
There is no other God.
Like my God.
Like my God.
My Father.
My Father.
Oh, thou art my Father God.
My very own Father.
There is no God.
There is no God.
Like my God.
Like my God.
He is above all.
He is above all.
He is greater than all.
He is greater than all.
He's my Father.
He is my Father.
He is the creator of all things.
He is the creator of all things.
He's my Father.
He's my Father.
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 I love you.
I love you.
Oh, I love you.
I love you.
Just to be in your presence.
Just to be in your presence.
Just to absorb your glory.
Just to absorb your glory.
I wait on you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
With all my heart.
With all my heart.
Mind.
Mind.
Soul.
Soul.
Body.
Body.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Hallelujah.
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 Well, you see, we need these times of prayer and fellowship. They're just for us. Too many times, and most of the time, of course, in our coming together to pray, we're praying about our needs and about the ministry and about different things. And we ought to. The Bible said, you know, He knows you have need of these things before you ask Him. So He told us to ask Him. Jesus said that. So that's fine. But you see, we need to get acquainted with other kinds of praying. Hallelujah. Now, I got one of these done. I've got three of them here. My, the other two, you know, I just, you know, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Amen.
My. I'm looking down here at number two. Whew. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Prayer has several elements. It brings you into personal fellowship and touch with the Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit. All three of the Godhead are brought into the prayer life. You're praying to the Father. You're praying in the name of Jesus. You're praying by the aid and help of the Holy Ghost in the Spirit, as the Scripture said. Your prayer is based upon the Word of God. You can't spend any length of time in prayer without being affected by it. If you just spend a little bit of time, you'll be a little bit affected. If you spend a medium amount of time, you'll be medium affected. But if you'll spend a whole lot of time, you'll be a whole lot affected.
Amen.
The quietness, the unshakable faith, the deep peace that pervades the Godhead will overflow into the prayer's life. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, number two. There is a heavenly fragrance about Jesus that lingers with the prayers. Hallelujah. There is a heavenly fragrance about Jesus that lingers with the prayers. One cannot spend an hour in conscious communion with the Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, and with the Word without carrying away from that place, hallelujah, a different atmosphere. And folks will be able to tell that different atmosphere about you. You will just simply absorb the presence of God. There is something about those folks that spend time with God. They are slow to speak. They are slow to judge. They are quick to love and to help. Now, before I give you the fourth one, fourth characteristics, I'm talking about that's something that you carry away from His presence. Hallelujah. I'll go over these and I want to comment on them a little bit. Number one, they're slow. They are slow to speak. Those folks that are blabbing all the time, I just know they haven't spent much time with Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. Oh, they've said their prayers and rattled off a few words from memory. Somebody asked Charles Finney one time, you know, if you ever read Mr. Finney's autobiography, there was a little fellow that went along. Actually, he was an older man and I guess sort of semi-retired from the ministry. He had been in the ministry. His name was Father Nash. He'd go sometimes several days, even sometimes weeks ahead of time into a city where Finney's going to come to hold a campaign and try to recruit people to pray. Mr. Finney said somebody asked him one time, "Do you know a Father Nash?" He said, "Oh, yes, yes, I know him. I know him." Said he goes along and prays. Sometimes he didn't even go out to the meetings. He'd stay back in his room and pray for the meetings. People didn't see him much. He was by himself praying, waiting on God, praying for the meetings. So he said, "Do you know Father Nash?" "Oh, yes, yes, I know him." But he said, "What kind of a person is he?" Mr. Finney said, without thinking, I just simply said, "Well, he's like anybody else that prays, a real quiet person." That's sort of a blow to some folks, isn't it? No, there's something about it. Those that spend time with the Lord are slow to speak. They are slow to judge. And they are quick to love and to help. Praise God. Now then, number four, there is a holy calmness about their lives that challenges the restless ones. And they crave that quietness of spirit. Amen. I don't know. I don't like to use myself as an example because I know I'm many, many areas of poor example, but I do endeavor to wait upon God and pray. But I've had ministers to say to me, you know, in conventions where there are a number of we ministers, "Well, when so-and-so speaks," and I appreciate what they said is good, but there's a spirit of agitation. When you speak, there's a calmness. There's a peace. Well, I think what happens a lot of times is that when others speak, the message is not necessarily coming from their hearts. Sometimes they're just aping and imitating somebody else. I remember many years ago in the days of Voice of Healing, when there were 70 or 80 of we ministers in the Voice of Healing, I was preaching there in Dallas in Oak Cliff Assembly. Brother Noah was pastor. Brother Noah said, "Brother Hagin, I've had all these fellows in my church," and said, "they preach the same thing you do, but when you preach, it's just different. It's just different." Well, I said, one thing is a lot of time what they're preaching is what they learn from someone else. They're sort of giving it second-handed. Or they are only an echo. But when I talk, I'm talking from my heart. I experienced it. I was there. Well, it's just a difference. And there will be a difference. But I think a lot of difference is that somewhere or another in fellowshipping with the Father, you just simply, that peace, that tranquility flows over into your spirit. I know I've had people come here from other schools all over the nation. And I know I was going from a class. One day there's a fellow here looking this over, you know, and I finished my class and I was going back to the administration building. So he hollered at me and came running up to him and shook hands with me and told me who he was. And he said, "Brother Hagin, I have visited," because he was a student in a certain school. He told me where he was from. But he was planning on changing schools. And he began to rattle off where all he had visited. But he said, I mean, just out here, there's a peace here. There's a peace on this campus that we don't have on our campus. I know I could mention a name you'd all immediately recognize. I mean, and these were those in authority. This wasn't just a student. These are those that headed up. And they came here and they said with tears, you've got something on this campus we don't have on our campus. You see, these were leaders. They wept in my office and said, there's a love, you can feel it. There's a peace, you can feel it here. We don't have this love on our campus. We don't have this peace on our campus. But with tears they said, we want it, we want it, we want it. I've had pastors to say to me, Brother Hagin, you know, because I left my last church and went out on the field in 1949, how do you get your people to pray? Evidently, they had difficulty getting their people to pray. And they'd look shocked when I'd tell them. I said, pray yourself. They looked like you'd slapped them with a wet dish rag. See, they're so busy working for God, they don't have time to pray. See, they're so busy doing things for God, to keeping the church going, keeping everything going. You see, they don't have time to pray. Set the example in front of your people. And they'll pray. I never had any difficulty getting people to pray because I prayed myself. I prayed before them. I prayed with them. I said, I'm going to pray. I didn't scold them for not praying. I never tried to make them pray. Old saying in the natural, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. See, I never tried to make people pray. I never tried to force them into praying. I just set the example before them and prayed, and they saw the results till they all wanted it. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? They wanted to enter into that too. They wanted to get in on it. Well, thank God for the privilege to pray. Well, now this comes to my third thought concerning several elements to prayer. Hallelujah. Again, number three now, you cannot spend time with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Written Word of God, without partaking of their stability and their unshakableness. I said, we cannot spend time with the Father God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Written Word of God, without partaking of their stability and their unshakableness. Write this down. I'll repeat it. One who is easily disturbed. One who is easily disturbed. And one who, in the jolts of life, and you know the jolts of life come to all of us, one who in the jolts of life is unseated will find new strength and steadiness that will make him a blessing to the world by spending just a little time with the rock of our strength. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I want to repeat that. That's so important. You need to meditate upon that a little bit. One who is easily disturbed. One who is unseated, or in the jolts of life is unseated, will find new strength and steadiness that will make him a blessing to the world by spending just a little time with the rock of our strength. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just a few moments, actually. We need to spend more time on that, but just a few moments with him tunes us up. You know, just like you get your car tuned up every once in a while, it won't run right. See, I know spiritually speaking, folks not running right, they need a tune-up. Hallelujah. Amen. Need the spark plugs adjusted. Sometimes need the carburetor cleaned out. You understand what I'm talking about? And then it just runs smoothly, you know. Amen. So many times in life, things are not going right. It's sort of a hit and miss. You ever try to drive your car, you know, and it's just hitting on certain cylinders and missing jumps and jerks? Sometimes I think, spiritually speaking, that's the same thing's true. You see, that's reading folks are jumping and jerking. They never there, up and down, in and out. Things not going right. They need to get the spark plugs adjusted. Hallelujah. Sometimes the carburetor gets dirty, you know, and the gas don't get through just right. Hallelujah. Sometimes there are things that just needs to be cleaned out. Sometimes just waiting on God will clean some of that stuff out. You know, I've found this out. But just waiting on the Lord, spending some time in His presence, spending time in the presence of God, praying in the Spirit in other tongues, spending time with His Word open before you, spending an hour there, and then come out from that presence, and they've even got on cassettes of playing, or even on the radio, religious music, you know. But it sounds like somebody beating on a tin lid. You know, there's no spirit to it because you just come from the presence of reality. I've seen time I had to turn that off. Much less all that other kind of junk. See, this was religious music. Quartets are singing. What they were singing about was so light and frothy. You know, sound like somebody taking a big spoon, you know, in a bucket lid and just a beating on it. It just grated on you. I've had to turn it off. Just turn it off. Amen. Don't shout me down now because I'm preaching real good. Now those folks, you see, you know, they might get by that, but those folks that listen to all that other junk, I know they haven't spent any time in His presence. You just couldn't stand it. Your spirit, it doesn't feed your spirit. You just can't stand all that stuff. Get into His presence. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. So sometimes the carburetor needs to be cleaned out a little bit, you know. Hallelujah. Just a few moments with Him tunes us up. Makes it easy for us to face life's uneven conditions. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, we need the Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. But you know, Jude said, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And that element is lacking with a lot of faith people. See, I can say that and get by with it because I'm a faith person. Now somebody said, I don't believe in faith. Well, then you just automatically cut them off, you know, even though what they're saying might be true and might be a help to us. But that sort of turns you off. It's just like this. If you was thinking about getting married, you're engaged, you're going to be married next week. Somebody said, I don't believe in marriage. You just cut them off. I mean, just turn them off because you do believe in marriage. Amen. Amen. And really, you couldn't believe the Bible without believing faith because the Bible said by grace are you saved through faith. Amen. Amen. Isn't that right? Sure. Well, we don't go for some of these extreme things. We understand that. But you need to realize this. That Jude said, just one chapter in Jude 20th verse, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost is praying in other tongues. Now, that won't give you faith, but it'll build you up because faith comes in here by the Word of God. It'll build you up on your most holy faith. And if we hadn't needed that, God wouldn't have provided it for us. And so there are a lot of faith people that there's something lacking about them. They're wondering why it isn't working. I'm making all the right confessions. Well, there's something you need to do besides make right confessions. See, making right confessions is good. It's good to be positive. Medical science is finding that out even from the natural standpoint. I have a little excerpt here in my Bible that I cut out of the Tulsa World. This was over a 7-year period. You see, it isn't just something that they just a little test, but over a 7-year period, these doctors from one of the universities back east ran this particular test, and they said folks from 65 to 72, you see. So then those people that were 65, the last count they had of them, they were 72, you see, 7-year period. Those folks that were 72 would be 79 then, and then those in between. They took several hundreds of them, of these people, 65 to 72, several hundreds of them, And they said, now their conclusion they got through is, we've got to find a way, they said, to help these older people to become more positive. For out of these 500 people of that age that they observed and checked on, those that the doctor said were in bad health and would not live much longer, those the doctor said who said, I'm in excellent health, I will live, were still alive 7 years later. Even though the doctor said they wouldn't. Every one of them that they had a record of were still alive. Those that the doctors examined and said are in good health, there's no reason why they shouldn't live, they're 65 to 70 or 72. Those that said, well, I know better, I'm in poor health, I'll never make it, died. Died. See, this was a medical survey. It isn't something, you know, related. I thought, well, they're finally catching on what the Bible said all the time. Praise God. Amen. They got what they said. Amen. And so he said, the doctor said, this is doctor, not preachers. He said, we've got to find a way to help these older people to become more positive, because those that were more positive live longer. Well, I'm glad I started being positive before I got to be 65. I've been positive ever since I was 17. Because every time anybody asked me, how you doing? I said, excellent. That's what they said. Those that said, excellent, I'm excellent, lived. Even though the doctors said they're going to die. And those that said, the doctors couldn't find anything wrong with them, no reason why you shouldn't live. But they said, well, I know what the doctor said, but I'll never make it. I won't make it to 70. And they didn't. They didn't. So we need to be positive. There's no doubt about that. I mean, see, these weren't religious people. Some of them may have been, they were checking out. But this is just from a natural standpoint. Just from the natural standpoint, by being positive, it helps. Well, how much more will positive faith in the Bible? We're not talking about just being positive in life. We're talking about positive faith in what God said. Positive faith in what Jesus said. Positive faith in the Holy Word. We need to be positive. Yet right on the other hand, we still need to build ourselves up spiritually on that. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, hallelujah, praise God, praying in the Holy Ghost. That'll build you up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Do we need that building up? Sure we do. Hallelujah. Make faith work better. Amen. Glory to God. Just make faith work better then. And it'll take on, you see, faith makes circumstances and difficulties take their true position. Faith makes, and you see, you're building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Faith, you see, makes circumstances and conditions take on their true position. Now, for instance, you remember the story. I refer to it in teaching on faith quite frequently. Without turning back there, I'm just assuming you know well enough. You could turn back, you know, to Numbers and so on. But you remember when Israel came out of Egypt, and you remember when they sent those spies into Canaan's land, spy out the land. You remember that? Two of them brought back a good report. 10 of them brought back an evil report. And those that brought back the evil report, what's the evil about? Well, it's just doubt and unbelief. And they said they're giants in the land. Really, they didn't have any business going searching it out anyway. God had already told them what kind of land it was. He told them all he wanted to know about it. Amen. Go in and possess it. I'll give it to you. Praise God. And they brought back some of the giant cluster grape, you know, and the pomegranate and the fruit, you know. And they said it is a land flowing with milk and honey, but there are giants in the land. They began to talk about the giants. Well, Caleb and Joshua, they didn't deny the giants are there. But Caleb said, our God is well able to deliver them into our hands. Let us go up at once and take it. Hallelujah. Now, you see, do you notice the 10 spies? They didn't say anything about God. They talked about the giants. They talked about the situation. They talked about the difficulties. Caleb said, yeah, they're there, all right. But our God, hallelujah, hallelujah, yes. Hallelujah. You see what the 10 spies said? They talked about those giants, and then they said, we are as grasshoppers in their sight. See, they measured themselves by the giants. You go to measuring yourself by the circumstances. You go to measuring yourself by the situation. And brother, it looks hopeless and helpless.
That's right.
But I'll tell you what you do. You go to measuring God, the circumstance. Hallelujah, in the sight of God, the condition. Measuring it by God, and you got a true faith perspective then. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, now, Caleb and Joshua is the only two of that older generation that went into Canaan's land, the promised land. Others died in the wilderness. Because, you see, that's as far as their faith would take. Now, did you ever stop thinking about those people weren't lost? Did you ever stop thinking about that? See, Canaan's land is not a type of heaven. It's a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and our rights and privileges of the Christ. See, Egypt's a type of the world. Isn't it? You know the Bible teaches that what happened to them is in samples and types, you know. Because, you know, Paul talking about that said they were all baptized in water baptism. Well, not literally, but figuratively, see, when they crossed the sea, the Red Sea, you see. Amen. Then that rock that they drank of was Christ. Remember he said that, you know? He's using a type. Well, now you see, they weren't lost. They were out of the world. The world is, Egypt's a type of the world. They were delivered from the world. Weren't they? I said, weren't they? But they didn't get into the promised land. They didn't get into the promised blessing. They didn't get into what belonged to them as children of God through unbelief. Can you see that? See, Canaan's land is a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the early and the latter rain. Read the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy and see the latter rain covenant that God made with them, early and latter rain covenant God made with Israel. It's a type of divine healing. It's a type of all of our blessings, rights and privileges and what belongs to us as Christians. And because we're in Christ Jesus, mighty few people ever come into the promised land, or if they do, they just get an edge of it. Come on in. Just go on in and enjoy. You see, how can you do it? Through and by faith. That's the reason it's necessary not only to know what the promises are, not only to know what is yours, and to believe it and to confess it, but that's the reason that it's also necessary, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But now you see, your natural mind would fight you, would hold you out of that. Remember again, we'll go back again to 1 Corinthians 14:14, where Paul said, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Amplified translation, you remember, says, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prayeth. That's the Holy Spirit helping me to pray. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. But, now listen, my understanding, Paul said, my understanding, that's his mind, isn't it? His own thinking, his own human reasoning is what? Unfruitful. That means his mind didn't enter into that. So then your mind, you'll have to fight your mind to do it. Because your mind can't enter into it, and it'll want to hold you out of it. It will not want to let your spirit enjoy that privilege that goes with Canaan's land. Your natural mind will say, well, now, I didn't understand that. I know it. That's what the Bible said. That's what the Bible said. Look at the second verse of the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He either speak in unknown tongues, speaketh not unto men. Who's he talking to? God, but unto God. For what? No man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries, or divine secrets. So your natural mind, you can pray, spend some time building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. But you see your mind say, what good did you get out of that? Mentally, you didn't get edified. Physically, you didn't get edified. And the two of them, your mind and your body will sort of gang up on your spirit. Take sides against it. Well, what good you get out of that? Now you wasted 30 minutes, 15 minutes. You know anything you said? No. Well, what good did it do you? Just answer your own mind, and then the devil will take advantage of you. See, you'll start thinking like that, and then the devil will put added thoughts in there. Out, he can come from out here and do it, you know. Just say, you know what I was doing? I'll tell you exactly. Speak to your own mind out of your spirit. I'm building up myself on my most holy faith. I'm not quite through building yet, so hush. I'm going to get back to building. Hallelujah. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm doing. I'm building up myself. Well, your mind will say, did it do you any good? Yes, the Bible said so. Hallelujah. And after a while, it'll take your time, but once you will eventually get your mind under control. Amen. And then it'll be easier for you. But till then, it won't be the easiest thing in the world, because your mind will oppose you. And you see, if you're still living in the natural and living in the mental, why, you'll rattle off a word or two in tongues and think, well, that's sufficient. And you'll never get into it. Never get into the promised land. Maybe in the edge of it. Amen. Never get into all your rights and privileges and everything that belongs to you. And the benefits. Benefits. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.